welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, author, life coach, and mother of two. Whether you're married with children, single, divorced, or all of the above, I am talking to you about life, relationships, sex, and sometimes divorce. And if you like TV shows about crazy relationships, you should watch You're the Worst, because the world-famous Todd Anderson's here, and we want to make him happy. Yay! Thank you for being here, Todd. I'm just hanging on to him until he gets too famous for me. Are you going to just sit here and talk about divorce with us?
Is that cool? I mean, I'd rather talk about sex.
I know.
Can we talk about sex with divorce people?
Maybe we will get to that. I can't guarantee it, but if we can talk about post-divorce sex, of which I had a lot of good post-divorce sex.
I want to hear those stories.
All right, every single one. Okay, well, let's see what my guest is comfortable with. My guest today quite literally wrote the book on divorce. She is considered the nation's leading authority on divorce and is revolutionizing the conversation on the subject through media interviews, speeches, her divorce masterclass video series, her role as a contributor to credit.com, and her book, Breaking Free, a step-by-step divorce guide to emotional, physical, and spiritual freedom. Please welcome marital law attorney Rebecca Zung. Yay! Rebecca, are you on the line with us?
I'm on the line. Welcome. And, you know, I just have a quick question. I'm just curious to know if post-divorce sex is better than makeup sex.
Way better. I'm not one of those that needs to fight to have the makeup sex, you know? That's never been a thing for me.
But maybe it'd be super hot to get in a fight with a divorced person and then have sex with them.
Well, you know, however you want to get there.
Because that's a double whammy. Yeah. Post-divorce sex and makeup sex at once.
Layer it on. I just think, you know, post-divorce sex, you're kind of like getting to know yourself and, you know, discovering what's out there in the world. And good times.
Easy.
Right. Oh, sorry. Okay. What am I saying? What did I go too far? So let's see of all the famous people that have post-divorce sex to look forward to now.
There's a lot.
Quite a few of those going on.
Ben and Jen, you know, which is
Ben and Jen and Gwen
and Gavin.
Gavin and Gwen yesterday.
I know. Big things. And see, Ben and Jen around 10 years, Gwen and Gavin 13 years, and said it was kind of a long time coming. And I'm looking at these couples that so commonly are splitting up around 10 to 12 years. And I hate the idea that we all sort of think that, they married the wrong person or something. It was some sort of big mistake. And I know that one of the things that you're trying to do is to really change the conversation around this. And I'd love to know more about that and just how you want that conversation to look.
Well, when I talk about revolutionizing the conversation about divorce, what I mean specifically is that divorce still carries with it a lot of stigma and the notion that it's a failure. There's still kind of jokes to be made if somebody's been married a couple of times or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so much of a stigma, frankly, around it that I believe that it's really starting to impact like the millennials. Because we're finding now that the 20-somethings, the rate of marriage for them is way down. Mm-hmm. They're just having children without getting married anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they don't want to be a failure. If they end up breaking up, but they just broke up, right?
Interesting.
So,
yeah.
What I'm trying to do is just say, hey, listen, if you're in a relationship that's dysfunctional and disempowering, not serving you, not serving your soul, then it's okay to say that maybe the future that I have with this person has become expired. Mm-hmm. And it's time to go in a different path. Well, you know, I think that years ago people lived a whole lot shorter of a time. If you're dead at the time by the time you're 35 or 40, it's a whole lot easier to say forever.
Yep. I always say that. I'm always like, you know, happily ever after was like 12 years, you know, basically.
Exactly. So, you know, I really just think that, you know, we've done such a great job of taking away stigma from a lot of other things that used to be a stigma. Mm-hmm. You know, years ago, even 20 years ago, if you were gay, for example, and you came out while you were married and you had children, the courts actually kind of looked at the gay party as almost like a child molester or something. They really had a lot of trouble getting custody of their children. And now, of course, that's all changed tremendously just in the last 20 years. And so I do think that we can talk about divorce as in an empowering context and say, hey, this is an opportunity to create a new life for both of us to be empowered in a relationship. There's certainly no power in being in a relationship where the other person doesn't love you and doesn't want to be with you.
And I love what you said about, is this relationship serving your soul? And I think that some people can be married for, 30, 40, 50 years and allow each other to grow and expand as souls. And that's a really special connection. But sometimes we just have amazing people in our life. I married a good guy. I don't regret my marriage and I don't regret my divorce. You can have somebody great in your life for 10 or 12 years that you get to a certain point with, and you can't, for whatever reason in your dynamic, allow each other to expand further in that relationship.
Well, and the other piece of that, though, too, the other side of that is allow each other to expand and grow in a different direction, if that's what that means, mm-hmm. and be able to do that in a way that leaves you both feeling whole and with dignity. And just say, hey, it doesn't mean that you're wrong or I'm wrong. Nobody has to be wrong and nobody has to be right. Mm-hmm. It just mm-hmm. means that you're deciding to go in a different direction. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And sometimes, people, I've seen it where people will, like maybe a man will change careers, right? And the woman is coming from a position of like, but I married you as this. I expected you to be a doctor. And now you're telling me you want to go be in a band or play the guitar or whatever. And you're changing the deal.
Well, if you go from doctor to band, that's grounds for divorce. I think that's fair.
Okay. But maybe the healthy thing to do then is to divorce.
Sure.
And say, or if you can't be supportive and loving in that situation and it's not the road you want to go down, but is it this enormous betrayal? I don't know.
I think, well,
but it doesn't have to be.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think that it is. I think it's like, well, you want me to be an authentic person, right?
Well, I think so with so many of these Hollywood couples too, mm-hmm. like the big stars and the divorces that you're using as examples, I think mm-hmm. so much of, I mean, my theory is that they don't get to spend enough time together. Mm-hmm. So they naturally grow apart as their careers grow in different directions. And then they never see each other. And I think that is often what I think drives the spike in this relationship.
Well, I think that that's a really good point. And to take that even one step further, most of us in our marriages don't have all kinds of forces and people around us trying to rip us apart.
That's true. That's true.
It does seem that way sometimes, doesn't it?
They have those additional forces, women who are throwing themselves at these guys or, whatever. And if they haven't seen their wife in a year because they've been on the set and, somewhere else or whatever, it makes it very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think everybody's vulnerable in that.
I know as a actor myself, I mean, the women that throw themselves
the
at
groupies,
me constantly.
It's just constant.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, such a pain.
It's unbelievable.
Awful.
Todd has a spectacularly beautiful wife of 15 years? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 15. Now. So, yeah, don't listen to him. In other subjects around this, one of my things with these big divorces is that people always say, oh, they're filing it, 9 years and 364 days, and he just wants to get it done now because then if they're married, 10 years and a day, it's forever support and blah, blah, blah. And I think that this is a disservice to women to think that if you just stay married 11 years, you're going to be fully supported for the rest of your life.
That's
sorry,
true.
I laugh because I've been through a divorce. So,
well, and
I mean, first of all,
no, I know you're a Florida. You're in Florida. Different. Yeah.
So, you know, in Florida, 17 years or longer is considered the long-term marriage. So okay. It's different in every state, number one. And number two, in every state, when you're looking at any kind of support award, there are many different things that you look at. Duration of the marriage is just one of the factors. You look at the disparity in incomes, the age of the parties, the health of the parties, the lifestyle created during the marriage. You know, the whole idea of alimony came out of a really old-fashioned idea called coverture, which was that the parties had a duty to support each other. And it was mostly to protect the women because, in, you know, 150 years ago, the women were, you know, at home having the babies and they didn't have any means of supporting themselves. And so nowadays that's changed so much because very often both parties are working or both parties have skills to work. And the shift and the trend is toward shorter alimony duration, less alimony, getting people back on their feet, getting people out in the workforce.
Well, in this country anyway, not so much. I know in Canada, it's not like that.
It's different all around the world. Yeah. It's different state to state. Mm-hmm. But the trend in this country, at least, is away from as long-term, permanent, periodic alimony for the rest of our lives, you know, till one of you dies or gets remarried. Mm-hmm. That is starting to be eradicated in a lot of the different states. Florida being one of them. We have a bill that's been up to, actually even passed at one point, and then Governor Scott did veto it only because it had a retroactive component, which meant it would have opened up every divorce ever from the beginning of time, probably. Like,
and the Florida court system has screeched to halt.
Yeah. Like, no. So he vetoed it because of that, but I'm sure it'll be back, and it's happening all around the country as well.
Well, and I think that for an able-bodied woman to sort of take the stand that she doesn't have to support herself ever. I think that that's enabling. I think you're ultimately sort of taking away your own power. And,
oh, totally.
And it creates kind of an apathy towards your own personal growth. And you know, the other piece of this is that you always want to be able to depend on yourself because your spouse who's paying you alimony could die and they also could not get work. And like it or not, I mean, you're either going to throw him in jail and have him not be with the kids. But if he doesn't have the money, you can't get money from a stone. Like, it's,
right.
You know,
well,
I know men
who
have
wiped out. Like to look at it too is what job could you work in for 10 years and then have a pension for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
And
to be fair, I understand child support. I understand creating some sort of equity within the household so that the children aren't going from, you know, like a mansion to I don't know what, but I mean, I understand child support and I think that's very important. And I think that alimony can be, you know, if you've sort of given up your work to take care of the children so he can pursue his career, I get that you get a little time to get on your feet.
Sure.
You know, you get yourself back into the workforce. You know, I couldn't, you know, my ex-husband was in the film industry. You know, I could never compete with that wage. I mean, it would never even out. And yet my and then there was a recession. And so my alimony was almost nothing. Mm-hmm. And you know, child support is just sort of reasonable. So because I was told no judge is going to look at you with a master's degree in your education, your experience and say that you can't work.
Oh, yeah.
And I know. Certainly you would be able to work. I mean, we can do vocational evaluations and things like that and figure out how much you would actually be able to earn and what your value would be in the workforce and all that sort of thing. And there's different kinds of alimony. I mean, you can have a rehabilitative type of alimony, which would be tied to like an educational plan. You know, bridge the gap is just like
that's
for
a
couple
idea.
Of years, things
Go
like
that.
That. I mean, there's all different types. And different durations and amounts and all that sort of thing. But certainly, if you have an advanced education, even if it's been a long time since you've worked, Mm-hmm. The courts are going to take a look at, okay, how long is it going to take for her to, you know, either get recertified or get caught up or get her, you know, whatever she needs to do mm-hmm. to get back out into the workforce for
right.
sure.
Right. Well, okay. So do you have any advice for women in this situation who are dealing with the fact that their husband had an affair? Like, you know, the whole Ben and Jen thing is blowing up that he's
suing. I actually
the
had
nanny.
A question about
okay,
that.
Okay. All right. What's your question?
Well, you know, whenever this stuff happens, mm-hmm. it seems like the public, you know, it like blows up on the social network, like, and everybody immediately, like, once that nanny made the, you know, mm-hmm. assertion that she was, like, everybody immediately jumped on Ben Affleck as this, you know, evil cheating man.
Yeah.
And it seems like the public is always looking for that kind of, yeah, a villain in mm-hmm. the marriage, as yeah. opposed to what you're saying, these two people actually moving on, like, in their lives separately.
Right, right.
You know, and I know that...
Well, they got to have a story, right? It's got to be something.
Right. Well, yeah, they're
you
always...
You can't just say these people are parting ways. There's got to be some story.
Well, yeah.
To make it juicier.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering about, because, I mean, you guys were just talking about that, and that the, you know, people are always... They need this villain because of what you're saying, like the happily ever after thing.
Right,
How can they not be living happily ever after if someone's not a bad guy in this?
Right.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, but it's all... I don't even know what, you know, if Ben is involved with the nanny or whatever, but you hear so many of those instances. I mean, honestly, if I'm a celebrity wife... Don't you want your nanny to be like the 65-year-old woman that looks like Barbara Bush or something?
Well, yeah, that's a good. That's
I know,
a
they're
good
always
point.
Bringing the hotties into the Why household. I'm like, who's doing the hiring here?
Little nannies, anyway.
Yeah,
I did. I had a nanny who said she was not hired because she was too hot.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well,
and
know.
I'm like, hey, man, I get it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
That's the other thing. I mean, it's just you know. Let's say he was. I mean, he says he wasn't, you know, blah, 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 whatever. Yeah. But let's say he was. I mean, that like him having an extramarital affair doesn't necessarily mean that the marriage was blissful and everything was going great. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like
you're looking at it as a symptom.
As a symptom of something yes. that's not working anyway.
Absolutely.
Right,
as
right.
opposed to he's a horrible man.
Right.
And he cheated with the nanny,
right.
even though things were going great.
Right. Yeah, even though things are going great and he and his wife are having sex three, four times a week.
Right.
Right. We don't know
well,
anything.
Well, here's the thing that I yeah. find very interesting, you know, and I've been doing this work a long time, is that I'll have a lot of women who will come to me and absolutely, you know, angry and cannot believe that their husbands went out and had an affair. And then they'll proceed to tell me, well, you know, when my son was born, I started sleeping in his room and I haven't slept with my husband in 5 years or whatever, but he still shouldn't have gone out and cheated on me and blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm not condoning it by any means, but...
Totally get what you're saying.
Perhaps she might have contributed in some way.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I know that like I'll get hate mail for saying this, but sometimes I do feel... And you know, there are actually some laws that do call that abandonment and they support, you know... But these are old laws before no fault marriage and blah, blah, blah. But the idea that if you're not having a sexual relationship with your spouse, what sexual relationship are they cheating on? There is no sexual relationship
right.
over here. You guys
exactly,
are roommates.
Exactly
what is he cheating
point.
On?
That's
and,
a good
and
point.
And like I said, I don't condone it.
Send the
certainly.
Hate mail.
I mean, I think that
I don't
if
either.
You're unhappy in the marriage, get out of the
yes.
marriage and
yes.
move on.
Yes.
But, you know... In my observations, I will say right or wrong, which, you know, mm-hmm. if you're not giving a man sex, he will find it somewhere else.
And I think that's true about women, too.
Yeah.
I
oh,
think it's
I know,
everybody.
I know plenty of women who've been in that situation, too. And I just think that which makes your relationship different from other relationships is your intimate relationship. And we crave
exactly.
intimacy and we don't get married to be celibate.
And, I agree with you.
You know, so I think that I guess and that really was my question to you is, you know, when you get women coming in from a legal perspective and they're so angry about the affair, do you have advice for women in this situation that can kind of help them maybe compartmentalize that a little bit and really get realistic about just taking care of their true, what they're truly deserving legally, you know?
Absolutely. Well, there's different components to it. There's the legal, the physical, the emotional. Mm-hmm. You know, from a physical standpoint, I definitely always tell them to get checked for STDs. Mm. I have done a lot of litigation. Wow. For women or men who have been inflicted by their spouses.
Wow.
You know, who went out and cheated on them and didn't tell them and then brought something home. You can actually sue in tort for that as a battery.
Wow.
And get damages for that. So that's one thing for sure. As far as the legal part of it is concerned, you know, as you mentioned, most states are no-fault states. However, if money was spent on the paramour in some way, you mm-hmm. know, some people actually go out and buy them lots of jewelry, big vacations, homes, things like that. If a lot of money was spent on the third party without the knowledge of the other person, then that's potential marital waste mm-hmm. that can be recouped as part of the property division. So that's another piece of it. And as far as the emotional piece of it is concerned, it just goes back to what we said in the beginning. And obviously, this is not a healthy relationship. This is not a relationship that is empowering the parties, that is feeding their soul. So, you know, definitely time to move on and do so in a way that protects yourself, that you get what you're entitled to under the law and you move forward.
Yeah, and reclaim your life.
Yep.
Right?
Exactly. So, clinging on to a person that doesn't want you is no, there's no dignity
in that. Exactly. There's just no dignity in that. So what do you see marriage and divorce looking like in the next 10, 20 years from now?
Well, I hope that I see it in a way that that people enter into a marriage that they keep their agreements and they keep their word. I think a lot of times the divorce is really almost imminent based on the way you went into the marriage. You can almost predict whether or not somebody's going to stay in a marriage based on how they went into the marriage. In other words, are they keeping their agreements? What are they thinking they're getting when they're getting into this marriage? Mm-hmm. You know, some people marry people because of their money, because of their position, because they're lonely, you know, for all the wrong reasons. And those marriages aren't, you know, destined to probably live forever.
Right. You're at a disadvantage for growth when you're entering it from that position, because I think you have to love that person. You have to say to yourself, well, if he lost his position, if he lost all of his money, is this the person I want to be in the trenches with? Is this the person I want to stand by? And, you know,
yeah, I mean, you know, and I can even say for myself, the first time I got married, I was divorced once before myself. And the first time I got married, I was 19. And I remember when the priest said, what God has joined, let no man divide. I remember standing up there going, well, but if I want to be out of it, I'll be out of it. Probably not a good way to start it.
No.
You know what? I would say that's pretty wise for a 19-year-old.
Do you think ultimately the divorce rate being so high is because so many people get married for those wrong reasons?
Oh, I definitely do. And then, you know, they wonder why it's not working out. And you think, well, you know, but you went into it for the wrong reasons to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. You know, and then somehow the other thing is
somehow
like,
the magic of the marriage is supposed to make it work.
Can't stand their wives because they're crazy. The joke in the divorce industry, we always say the husbands are always controlling and the women are always crazy because that's what the one says about the other.
Right,
all the
time. Right.
That's the story. Yeah.
And so, but you know, they love it when the women are crazy. And then they actually marry them, and then they end up being punished because that's what they can't stand.
Yeah,
right.
You know? Yeah.
Like so, this is vice versa. You know, women love these men who are in control and powerful and whatever, and then they marry them, and they go, "Oh, but he's really controlling."
Right. And you thought that was going to change. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, things don't change just because you sign a piece of paper. In fact, usually they get worse. And then you've got a whole set of in-laws to deal with, too.
Oh, golly, yeah.
So, well, thank you so much, Rebecca. This has been great. And I would love, tell us where we can find your video series and your books, because the video series sounds really cool.
The video series is on YouTube and also on my website, which is RebeccaZung.com. And my book is on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. Or if you go to my website, RebeccaZung.com, you can actually just click through and purchase it there.
And that book is called Breaking Free, A Step-by-Step Divorce Guide to Emotional, Physical, and Spiritual Freedom. Yes, right?
Exactly.
All right.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. And Todd, we're going to find you on television.
Yeah, in September, FXX, You're the Worst. And you can also watch my web series, The Film Pigs, on geeknation.com.
Catch it. It's fun.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it a lot. You can find me on Facebook at Sophie Venable. And if you are listening on iTunes or SoundCloud right now, please click subscribe. You can find my book, MILF 101, Make Your Life Fabulous, on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And let's see, I'm Instagramming on Make Your Life Fabulous once in a while.
Rock and roll.
Thank you to everybody here at Sideshow Network. Thank you both for being on the show today. And thank you all for listening. This is Sophie Venable reminding you that you don't have to make your life perfect. Just make it fabulous.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.